Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Geek Therapeutics Podcast. I am your host, Cornell Kritz, here with my co-host, Alicia. And we have a special guest this week, the one and only Joy Garcia. I apologize. I got tongue-tied there for a moment. How are you doing this week, Alicia?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for this fun episode, learning all things cosplay, social work, and therapeutic processing resources and fun things with Joy. And I'm really nervous for some reason today. I don't know why. I've got a lot of nervous energy in me. So if I stutter or I sound like I am going too fast, someone just point at me via the screen and I will slow down. So with that, Joy, how about you give us your introduction?
Hey, everybody. I'm really glad to be here. I'm Joy Garcia and my pronouns are he, they, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker.
Awesome. So let me ask, how did you get started with the geek culture? What was your introduction to geekdom?
I like to say Batman is my first and forever love. So I've been a massive Batman fan my entire life. And that was, I mean, anything I could get my hands on. Comics and movies and my house, just because of some of the things that were going on in my home when I was growing up, we didn't have internet. So I didn't have internet access until I went to college, despite being a millennial. So I was really behind the times, but anytime we went to a store, it was just like, where's the comic book section? I'm gonna go read Batman. And then watching the Batman films and every episode of, you know, the Batman TV show that we all know was the first one to be drawn on black and white paper, and Kevin Conroy voicing our favorite character. No, mm-hmm. So I've been a lifelong fan of Batman, and then also cosplay. So my parents both make costumes for various kinds of events, which was weird. So my dad's a mathematician and my mom's a librarian, but my mom's also a seamstress and he worked on motorcycles and did like construction during the summer. So even though they never make some of the stuff that I make or that my sibling makes, we kind of like learned a jack of all trades sort of skill set from them and just kind of took that. So I turned into a leather armorer probably 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah, I've just been a lifelong geek. I'm a Trekkie, love Star Trek, big fan of that. And then actually I started writing about therapy practices and the geek community back in college. And I didn't really know that anybody else was doing this or was into this, but I was always linking things like trauma and Batman or whatever we had to write a paper about. I found a way to make it nerdy and geeky. And fortunately, my department was very supportive. They weren't very knowledgeable. Nobody else really like knew what I was talking about, but they said, you know, you've clearly done a lot of research and really thought about these processes. And so we are supportive of that, even if none of us are really into that. And so it's been very affirming to interact with Geek Therapeutics because I'm not the only one that overanalyzes movies or sees the various ways that the Avengers maladaptive cope with this massive blip or whatever it is. I'm not the only person like metacognitive analyzing everything that's going on. So I was just like, oh, there's more people out there that are like me and they're, mm-hmm. they have kind of the same thoughts and perspectives. So that was really affirming and really fun.
What was the first story arc you remember from the Batman comics?
Oh, you know, I read, oh my gosh, this is going to drive me nuts that I'm not thinking of who did the artwork for it, but Batman Year One, which is kind of considered like a little rougher and a little kind of maybe grittier in terms of like the artistic style. Not everybody likes, cause it doesn't have that new polished, but I really loved it. And I really loved his journey in becoming Batman. I really resonated with that in a lot of ways. And then clearly that was reflected like in the Christopher Nolan Batman Begins movie. A lot of that material was pulled from Batman Year One. So love Batman Year One.
For me, Batman kick. What do you think about Batman released last night? Are you going to see it?
I'm going to see it tonight, so I can't talk about it yet.
I'm seeing it tomorrow morning. So
no, but I really also love Batman Hush. I'm a big fan of Batman Hush. In fact, my poster up over here is from that particular comic. And I actually did involuntary psychiatric detention for a while for Washington State. And that comic really helped me get through that period of my life. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are outside of his control, as what happens in the Batman universe, right? And in Washington State, from the minute that you start your investigation, you have 24 hours to make a determination and find a bed for someone if you're going to detain them. And there was a particular instance in which I wasn't going to find a bed. They were detainable. I've written up the court documentation, everything, and there was not a bed. And I knew, like, if I walk away from this guy, he's going to die. Like, that was the circumstance. And I remember going home at like 3 a.m. and just being so defeated and being like, I don't, you know, why do I do this? Why did I get into this profession? And I went back and I read Batman Hush. And there's a scene where his friend gets shot next to him in the theater. And his friend dies and he goes home to Alfred and he goes, if I can't even save my, like, I'm Batman. If I can't even save my friend next to me in the theater, like, why am I doing this? And Alfred kind of looks at him and goes, you know, you're allowed to grieve and you're allowed to be sad. But if you give up on this enterprise now, there are many, many other people that you could have saved that would not be helped if you give up. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like gets it together and goes out and follows through with the rest of that story arc. And I remember reading that and I was like, hot damn, I got to get it together. Alfred, man, like calling me out here. And so I gathered it together and went back the next day and the whole situation worked out. We were able to find a bed for him and get him the help that he needed. But Batman comics have really gotten me through various times in my personal life and also in my professional life.
That's awesome. And that's interesting to think about. And it made me just now realize something, because the one that really drew my attention and brought me into Batman comic wise was Nightfall. Mm-hmm. Because I had major hip surgery at 5 and I've had to learn how to walk 3 times. Oh, so wow. Seeing Batman get his back broken and having to recover from that, I didn't realize till you were just mentioning that right now that I really identified with that as a kid.
Yeah, Batman is such a relatable character in so many ways. I went to a convention where I was dressed as Batman, my medieval Batman costume, and I met Tim Sale, who's been drawing Batman probably longer than I've been alive, right? And I was just so excited. And he goes, I said, I'm a therapist and I have Batman stuff in my office. That's the theme of my office. And he goes, really? And he goes, clients connect with that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, but why? Batman is so like depressed and traumatized. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who do you think is coming to me for help? And I could just see like the cogs turn in his brain. And he goes, yeah, that makes sense. And we had this really deep, really great conversation about it. But I was like, people relate with him because he is in the trenches and he's facing poverty and he's facing mm-hmm. mental illness. And these are really relatable issues to clients, especially when you work with any kind of like oppressed populations, right?
Yep.
Man, there's so much to unpack and the beauty and the grief, because this whole story starts out of grief, right?
Right.
And when you build through that and you get to see that he never really processes it, truly. I mean, I am not the biggest Batman fan, so I don't know what Batman comics look like at the other end. My brother, if he was listening right now, or when he does, he's going to be very mad at me, because we are a very big DC Marvel family. And I love Batman outside of him being Batman, because he is a man who is broken. And his story does not come with, well, yes, he's a millionaire and a playboy and all these things, but his story does not come with a god from above that is giving him additional powers. He's still a man and he's just trying to help those who he sees to be broken and misunderstood. And it's a great segue into your profession as a social worker, because not that you're broken and misunderstood, that's not what I mean, but that we're looking at those people as how can we help them in their brokenness and relate with them. And I think Bruce Wayne does that outside of his money and his stature, and he does understand them, but he doesn't know how to produce those words. And so I resonate with him so much in that aspect. And I wish I read comics. I haven't read them since like the 90s. And I wish I knew more. I'm loving listening about these different Batmans. Year one is one Batman section that I do know from like the 90s, like what, 97? That's about it. You know, like I don't really know anything else outside of that, and learning about Batman as a man and Batman as a superhero. But you make him so relatable, and I just want to know Batman now.
I've always said, I'm like, when I look through the Geek Therapeutics course listing, I'm always like, There's not one about Batman here. Maybe I should pitch that at one of these times. Yep.
Pitch it right now. Tell me. I want to know. What do you want to talk about Batman?
Of course, guys. We need one.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. I even made a TikTok recently, actually, after I won at the most recent convention with my Batman cosplay. And I said, I feel like this is a turning point for me because Batman became the person he needed when his trauma happened, mm-hmm. right? Like none of us can control the trauma that happens to us. We only respond how we heal from it and how we interact with that going forward in our lives and how we decide to carry that, not put it on other people. And when his parents are killed, clearly there's no one there to help him. And he becomes the person that he would have needed in that moment that his trauma occurred. And I really feel like that's what I've done even in my life becoming a social worker. Like I became the person that I would have needed at that point in time. And to heal from that in such a cool way has been really fun.
That's awesome. And in ways I loved how they portrayed a little bit of that mentality in the animated series with the Silver Shadow. That he became essentially the real version of the Silver Shadow, which they had Adam West come back and voice that character.
Oh, Adam West.
Yeah. And
I love old Batman.
And I like how, you know, you see that he learned from his mistakes with Dick and Jason and even Tim. And now he's got Damian.
Right.
His actual biological son. And he's trying to undo this ingrained training and brainwashing that the League of Shadows put him through and trying to make him into a better man than he ever could be. So it's really interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce is kind of a terrible parent sometimes, but I think that just makes him even more relatable, right? Like we've all had like bad.
He's flawed.
We're not proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had have you seen your clients gravitate towards those type of conversations in the office when they see that you've got Batman things or nerdy, geeky things in your office?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those things where when I was growing up, it was very nerdy and geeky and you were the weird kid if you were into this sort of thing. And now it's not. It's like popular and hip. And they make Marvel stuff that's cute. And I'm just like, wow, this is so different. But it really is a gateway to bridging conversations and to kind of, in many ways, establishing kind of some instant rapport with people because there's this thing that you can both relate to that you've both enjoyed. And that makes for really easy kind of first out of the gate conversations when you're meeting people.
So I just got really hot and my face is flushed, but you can't see it because all the beautiful lighting I have around me. But you just triggered a very deep core memory that I have regarding Batman. And I think this is probably why I'm a little adverse to Batman and my palms are very sweaty. But when I was in kindergarten, I have always been a tomboy. I have always bucked up against the gender binary. I present very mask or I present very femme. And I'm very, very happy in both those worlds. I believe that both of those worlds and genders are part of who I am. And when I was a child, I played in that. I was in pageants, but then I wanted to climb trees and I chopped all my beautiful long curly hair off. And first grade, Mrs. Green's class in Idaho, I begged my mom for Batman light up Velcro shoes in 1990. And my mom was like, okay, whatever. My mom was like the greatest champion of the LGBTQ community. And I got terribly bullied for it. And I remember, like, if you could see me now and just touch my body, my hands are on fire because I loved Batman. And I'm looking at the year one cover for the year one DVD right now. Mm-hmm, and it was the year one shoe in 1990. And they were white and yellow and black. And the Velcro said Batman on them. And then he had a profile on one side and his bat wings in the black and yellow that were real big with year one were on the other side. And I know why I'm not a big Batman fan, because I was tormented by people in school being a girl because we have to have these binary norms, wearing boys' shoes, and I wore really awesome white and black and yellow tube socks because I loved them. Like,
as so, you do.
Yeah. And I should have known I was queer way long back. And I should have known in '90 in first grade, right? Today, a first grader would know because they are lucky enough to live that. And I'm just listening to the two of you talk, and I just feel so robbed of a really great story. And it sucks. And I'm so glad that your clients are able to find that and have somebody that they can walk into a room and say, oh, I can talk about some things that people might make fun of me for. And that's huge. And man, I'm so glad that you came on. And I really not wanting to live in that memory, but I'm glad that I can sit and know that there are people like us now who are helping people like me. I wish I would have had the adult to help me walk through that stuff. So thank you for having nerdy Batman things in your office.
As you're sharing that, it just reminds me of this panel, and I don't remember what comic it's from, but he's helping a small child and who's been in a very like traumatic environment, and she can't speak to him. Mm. She's holding a stuffed animal. And he kneels down in front of her and he says, tell me who did this to you. Like, who were the men that did this to you? And she absolutely cannot verbalize what's happening. And so he takes a breath and he sits along the wall next to her, side to side, right? And he holds her hand and he says, can Ducky tell me about what happened? And it's just so like, it just rips my heart open. And I just imagine you when you're telling me about this as like a small child and the character that he is, I can see him sitting down next to you and saying like, aww, I'm so sorry you've been hurt in these ways, but you're special and you can be who you want to be. And
oh, you're going to make me cry.
I know. But the thing about Batman is that he's like 83 years old now. He's been around forever. And so many people have written for him because there's so many cool things about his character. So don't let anybody gatekeep that for you. Like, nobody's telling you that you have to have read certain comics to be in. You could just have liked those Velcro shoes and still be a Batman fan. You do not have to have read all these titles and know all the names. And like, that is not a thing that you need to do. Like, you can just interact with that environment in any way that you see as being good for you, that brings you comfort.
Ugh. Man, there's so many like Batman memories that are just flooding my head right now. And I'm not going to cry. And I'm getting very emotional. So I'm going to be very good about not crying. I would say we should change the subject, but I think that it's such a great, it's just a great story and topic to discuss. And I think he resonates with so many people in so many ways. So thank you. Thank you for that word and for sharing that and just holding space.
Totally.
What I also like, we're, I guess, on a Batman kick with this episode, but what I like about him also is that there's some of his villains that, depending on the storyline, he'll go and visit them at Arkham and seek out their advice, or he ends up being acquaintances with them, especially with Victor Freeze, because he identifies with Victor and he knows that Victor is only doing it out of love for the most part to try and cure his wife. But he'll sit there, and I don't know where I saw this, but there was a panel where they just sat there and they were talking, and it was kind of like the Professor X and Magneto moment where they were playing chess together and Batman would just go and visit Mr. Freeze to give him company and have an intellectual conversation.
That's super cool.
Are either of you watching the CW Batwoman series?
I watched a little bit of the first season, but once
season two is so much better.
Okay.
Is it? Should I try again? Okay, because I watched like two episodes and I was like, I cannot do this.
I'm a Ruby Rose fan, like, don't get me wrong. And I was so glad that they had, you know, brought a queer character to life. But I believe that the woman who is playing Batwoman now is superior. And I think it is really good. I watch it religiously, and the stories that are coming from it are really beautiful. And she is an orphan. Kind of the same story, like parents, pardon me, mom was killed by one of the villains. This person happens to become Batman. I won't spoil it for anybody, or Batwoman. And the story that follows is just Beautiful. I love it. I know some people don't, but I think the CW kills DC shows and knocks them out of the ballpark. And I think they do better than some of the movies that have been created. And so I think it's worth watching. And I would love to chat it up because if you can get past Ruby Rose, mourn that Batwoman, and then go into the next iteration of Batwoman, knowing that Batman changes a lot. And I think you'll really enjoy it. It is. I think it's good. And I think the writing has gotten better over the last three seasons. I think it's gotten better.
That gives me the courage to revisit it then. Yeah. I was going to show you guys this too. And for the people that are listening, there's a couple of comics that I would highly recommend to therapists also.
Yeah.
From that perspective, this one is called Dark Knight, A True Batman Story. And it's by Paul Dini, who is actually a writer for Batman, the Animated Series. And it's about his actual story. So it's a comic about a real story in which he is beaten. And it actually happens in his neighborhood. So he is jumped and beaten. And he talks about, like, I wish that Batman could have been there for me. Like, I know he's a fictional character, but I just felt so alone. Like, this happened in my own neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. And he, like, it crushes his orbital socket. He ends up in surgery and he falls into addiction. And so the comic is about his struggle with healing from that. And he really struggled to go back in and continue to write for Batman in the Animated Series during that time, because he basically is like, you know, I'm writing about this world in which someone helps other people. And he's just very bitter about what has happened to him. And he's very honest about that struggle. And in the comic, there are points in which he just doesn't want to continue on. And he talks about that. And Batman kind of appears to him, not like the angel on the shoulder, but the voice of, like, you need to get up and take control of what you can take control of. And the Joker appears on the other shoulder, not like the devil, but like kind of that interplay of, like, it's fine, just give in to your grief and to your torment. Addiction is fine, right? And so there's this interplay between the two characters throughout the comic. And he talks about what it took for him to get over that trauma that had happened in his life. And I have clients read that one. So I would highly recommend that one. And then if you guys haven't seen the Love is Love anthology that came out after the Pulse nightclub shooting, this one is a collaboration between DC and IDW Publishing. And you can find it. The introduction is actually by Patty Jenkins, who directed Wonder Woman, right? And so it has artwork that is, each page is different. It's done by a different queer artist telling a different queer story. And then, so some of it is unique to that person and their artwork. And then some of it is done by artists that draw for DC that are queer. And so there's, you know, pictures of Batman and Superman and with pride flags and various kinds of artwork there that's really beautiful. So if you guys need comics that you can use in your office with people, those are really, really beautiful pieces that I
love using. We will be sure to link that in the show note for anybody. That's amazing.
Oh, nice. For the Lantern Corps.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I was searching for some of the other. Oh, there's that woman there at the beginning with the pride flag.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. This comic took me longer to read probably than any other comic that I've ever read, just because it's so intense and there's so much material there and it's very visually beautiful. But those are two that I keep in my office that I love using with folks.
We were talking about Geek Therapeutics and their programming, and I was wondering if there was a course that you took that resonated with you the most, and if you have used that knowledge with clients or in your private life, how has it impacted you?
I'm thinking of one course specifically just because of the client that I used it with. So I'm also a big fan of Thor, and I've done a cosplay of Thor, and my sibling one is Loki. And I think that picture is on my Instagram, so you guys can check that out if you want, which was really, really fun. But I took the Thor course, and those are all things that I'd thought about before, but to hear someone else talk about them in the way that instructor talked about them was particularly helpful. And for the people that are listening, we talked about this at the beginning of the show behind the scenes, but I work on a reservation. I work exclusively with Indigenous individuals. And a person that I'm thinking of that I worked with had had a lot of grief events in their life and a lot of things stripped and taken from them, and then had fallen into addiction and specifically alcoholism, and had gained a lot of weight through that. And for those of you that aren't necessarily familiar, some tribal people believe that you have strength in your hair and you're not supposed to let other people take your hair. So when you get your hair cut, you sweep that up, or you have family cut it and you take your hair because it could be used against you through kind of like practices. Other people might put bad intentions upon you or use that in that kind of way. And so hair is very sacred. And that was one of the big things about like Indigenous men that had their hair cut off when they went to boarding schools is a big deal. And so for our Indigenous men to have their long hair is oftentimes very symbolic and very important. And that's something that is shared with Thor, right? When his hair is taken from him, he is a warrior, and that's very, very important. And so this client that I had, I did the Thor therapy with, and I said, hey, because he's already a big fan of the Avengers, right? So it wasn't a stretch at all. And I said, hey, I want you to rewatch those films with this kind of lens and this intentionality, right? Every time he loses a bit of his culture, every time he loses something, it makes it more challenging to cope, and it makes it harder to cope. And then he finally comes to this place where he falls into alcoholism in Avengers Endgame and gains all this weight because everything that he would have normally used to cope has been stripped from him. And that is what has happened to Native people in many ways, is all of the natural coping mechanisms, all of the things that they would have engaged with to cope in a healthy way were stripped from them in the colonialism process. And they've had to like reclaim those, right? And that's been a big thing. And his hair had been cut too. My clients had been taken from him. And so that was a big thing. And so we talked about that, and he came back the next week just in tears. And he goes, I've never cried watching Marvel movies, but I cried. Like, I watched all of the Thor movies and all of the Marvel movies, and I cried. And he goes, and I don't feel alone anymore. Like, I don't feel like I'm the only person Wow. facing these things. I feel like I can come back from that. And I was actually able to give him a Thor poster that I got at another convention. The artist, it's actually Freddie Williams that did Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, found out that I'm a therapist, and actually sent me all these prints signed, which were, it was super cool interaction. He was like, I totally believe in what you're doing. I want you to have this. And he sent me all these prints, and one of them was a Thor print. And so I gave it to my client, and I said, whenever you look at this, I want you to remember that you're not alone, right? And that there are other people that share your story. And so I'm getting like choked up just talking.
I'm crying. I can't mute myself.
So transformative. And he is not the same person, and it has been so cool. So when you're like, what's any course that's impacted you? I'm like, that one right there. Yeah, that's been huge.
That is awesome.
I don't think there has been a moment in any of our shows that I have just been like brought to my knees. And I think that, I don't know if it's because it's so fresh in my mind, and I'm currently in the process of getting certified in outdoor behavioral therapy. But we just went through rite of passage this week, and there were so many stories of colonialism and religion and removing Indigenous people from their tribes and their lands and forcing them into this picture of perfect humanity. And it just breaks my heart because no man, woman, or child should ever go through that, and to have their identity stripped from them, and then to see that in a fictional character that they're not alone is just pure beauty in the ability to connect in ways that filmmakers never thought and therapists never thought possible. And I think that's what's so beautiful about what we do here at Geek Therapeutics and having these conversations. Oh, I can't stop crying. God, I hope your client knows how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm. You're okay. Give yourself space for that. That's all right.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Hard. It's so hard to.
It is.
To be in a place of a helping profession and know that so much has been taken from people who truly own this land, and to do the work that you're doing is so impactful, and to be able to have that rapport with them as a possible outsider to any community is just, the work is so impactful and your client's story is just, wow.
And so, I think cultural humility is the operative word there, right? Like I am, for those of you that are listening, I am white presenting. But there's a really great Native therapist, Eduardo Duran. He writes a book called Healing the Soul Wound. And he talks about when you are in tune with your own ancestors and when you're in tune with your own beliefs and your own culture, then you don't have a vacuum, right? So when therapists aren't in tune with those things, they have a hole and a vacuum. And when you interact with people that have a culture that you like, you appropriate it. So if you are in tune with your own ancestors and you're in tune with your own spirit and your own culture, when you enter that room, it meets them and their ancestors and their culture and their spirit, and your ancestors meet and have an interaction, and there's no vacuum in which you appropriate. And I've really seen the difference between therapists that are in tune and therapists that are not. So I'm white, but I'm a Scotsman and I have my own, like we also use rose water. We also burn cedar, right? A lot of the things that we do are very similar to Indigenous people. But if I'm in tune with that and I'm in tune with my ancestors and where I come from, I don't have a need to appropriate something else, right? Yeah.
Man, some words. I did not expect this interview to go this way, and I'm so glad that it has. I think everybody should hear those impact statements that are made from a training module that you got a CE for and were able to present that to a client that very well may have changed their life.
And yeah.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Cornell, you can ask some questions. So
well, it reminds me of two things. A book that I read in high school called I Heard the Owl Call My Name. It was about a missionary being exposed to in the Northwest to that and learning about the legend of if you hear the owl call your name, it means your time is coming. And that in turn, there was a informative show that was actually sponsored and written and worked with Knott's Berry Farm in Southern California to show Northwestern culture and stories. It was about a medicine man, a tribal elder, telling you the stories of his life and what the significance of everything within the lodge was, and that he thought he heard the owl call his name. And talking about his life through smoke interpretation and everything, it was really neat. And turns out that he was Raven. You know, he was the trickster the whole time telling the story. And it was really powerful, and it's something I've always loved getting to see as someone who's Cherokee but white presenting. It is powerful to, and I've always identified and connected with that spiritualism and that culture as part of my own heritage. So it's,
and I think that's something that, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean
no.
to cut you off.
If anyone can go out there and find a video of Spirit Lodge, check it out. It's a beautiful tale.
What you're saying really reminds me to highlight like that that's a connection between geek therapy. And if you're working with any kind of Indigenous culture, like many, whether that's like Pacific Islander, like Native Hawaiian, mm-hmm. Native American, right? A lot of our Indigenous cultures are narrative and storytelling cultures. And that's really like what geek therapy is in many ways, mm-hmm. is related to how we tell stories, whether that's through comics or video games or movies, a lot of it's narrative in elements. And so I think that that lends itself really well to working with those populations.
If there was anything that you could say to someone listening to the show about your time at Geek Therapeutics, what would it be?
Don't close your mind to the opportunities just because you don't understand it or you don't know it. Always be willing to try something. Horror video games, not my thing. I have a client that's highly anxious. They engage in horror video games. And I took that one and I was like, wow, I learned some stuff I did not expect to know. So I would say just approach everything with as much of an open mind as you can. I think even in geek therapy, even though there's so many interesting things in the geek community, we kind of like find our little niches and we're like, okay, I'm just a gamer. I just read comics or I just watch the movies, or, and we kind of like get in our little niches. Right. But don't be afraid to explore something. And don't let anybody gatekeep you. Right. Like kind of like we talked about earlier. Right. So I'm not huge into anime. So many people are so intense about anime. There's such a breadth of anime out there. I could get really overwhelmed and just avoid everything having to do with anime, not watch any of those geek therapy courses. Or I could say, hey, I don't know a lot about that. Let me figure it out. Let me approach that with a spirit of curiosity, right? Let me see what I can learn from that, even if I've never seen a Studio Ghibli film or whatever it is, right? And just to take that and see what you can learn from it, because you never know who you're going to have on your caseload or in your clientele that that's going to connect with. And you just even knowing that little bit is going to be really impactful. So yeah, just approach with a spirit of curiosity.
I love that, because that's exactly how I approached my certification. And I started with the anime videos because I know nothing. My nieces are into it. I have a non-binary, I don't even know what we're using for niece nephew that is non-binary these days. I have a non-binary child in my life that is related. And they are so into anime. And I was like, I can't, I don't understand what is, oh my God, I'm lost. So I took those first with a spirit of curiosity and mind blown. I mean, I have a deep appreciation for anime now, and I don't know jack nothing. I've never even watched an episode of Pokemon or Dragon Ball Z. My brother, again, would be so angry at me, but I've never watched any of it. My wife loves the Pokemon game, so I've bought them for her, but I've never even played it. I've never watched it. I have a hard time dealing with like flat cartoons. I don't really like them after the 90s. And I like the movement of cartoons today. And so I went in with the spirit of curiosity, and I've got the greatest, and we've talked about it a few times on this show, this really great appreciation for anime, the history of anime, and how the United States has Marvel and DC. Japan has anime, and they came out of the exact same conflict to be places of hope and grief. And I had no idea. And now I just, I see anime on people's t-shirts, and my cousin loves anime. I want to learn it all. And it's because I started with a little curious brain and went in and said, okay, I just want to learn. And so I'm so glad you said that, because I would never have done that if it wasn't for this little ping of, okay, how can I be more culturally competent with individuals who are diehard anime fans, because I would be so lost. I don't know.
With the enjoyment of cosplay and the talk of anime just reminded me of this. Watch a brand new series. It's fresh in Japan. It's still running its first season. I'm watching it on Crunchyroll. It's called My Dress Up Darling.
Okay.
It's really cute. It's all about cosplay and about someone who was so focused on what they wanted to do with their lives that all the way through high school, to their first year of high school, they've had no friends. So it's about his journey of getting his first friend and first love at the same time, and them connecting through cosplay. Because what he wants to do when he grows up is he wants to be a Hina doll maker. The traditional Japanese dolls where they sew the clothes and everything like that and paint on the face by hand and everything. He wants to do that. And he thinks they're the most beautiful thing in the world. He's never looked at girls or anything like that. So it's kind of that story of the two of them together. So it's really
I'm gonna have to watch that. That sounds amazing. I'm big into cosplay. I love that. So
what is your favorite cosplay to date?
Probably my medieval Batman one. Yeah, it was really cool. But I am working on that centaur build, and that's going to be pretty cool. But I've really allowed myself to have a therapeutic process in each of the costumes that I've made. And I engage with that on a very intentional level. So when I made my Thor costume, it was at a time in my life in which I actually left an agency that was incredibly homophobic and transphobic, and I needed to reclaim my power. And so that, like, I built this suit, and you normally think of a suit of armor as like protecting or keeping things out, but it can be a suit of empowerment. And that was a really big time in my life. And then when I made my medieval Batman cosplay, it was a time in which I really needed to gather the resources and support around me in my life. And I remember through that, because it takes me about a year to make a full suit of armor out of leather, because I hand tool and carve everything. And you soak it in water and wrap it around your body so it takes the shape of your body. So you sit in like wet leather for hours. And I mean, it's just, it's an intense process, right? And I remember during that year, my family and friends and my loved ones, they would say, what do you want for Christmas? Or what do you want for your birthday? And I would say, I just want a sheet of leather. That's all I want is a sheet of leather. And so this Batman costume is literally made from the love of my friends and family. Mm-hmm. And it's the symbol of what I went through in that year. And so each of the costumes that I've made have been what exactly I needed in my process as an individual in that particular year. And so I love them all for different reasons, but I probably love the Batman one the most because he's my favorite.
All right. We unfortunately have actually ran over our time a little bit this week, but no, this has been an awesome conversation. And I want to give you a few moments here, Joy, to plug yourself and anywhere that people can find you. And we can then wrap up from there. And definitely want to have you back in the future. This has been an amazing discussion, and there's so much more. We could have gone a full hour with this easily. And I would love to do a longer like panel like discussion with you with a couple of our other guests and see what we can do with that. And so please take a few moments, plug yourself, tell us where we can find you, and then we'll wrap up.
Oh, I'm going to be very bad at this because I'm not capitalism minded, but my Instagram is Joy the Counselor, and my TikTok, I'm trying to get better at that, is The Joy of Cosplay. I think it's just Joy of Cosplay, no the in front of it, but yeah, that's about how that goes. And I do have an Etsy site. I'm trying to get into selling my artwork a little bit. So I make like leather earrings that are Wonder Woman shields and Baby Yodas. And I make leather bracers that look like they've been made out of dragon skin. And that's haveacowleatherworks.etsy.com.
Nice.
So once again, I'm not very capitalism minded. So I'm having to learn how to like post on Instagram and use little hashtags and all of that. But I've been making stuff and I'm going to try to sell at the next convention I'm competing at. So we'll see how that goes. Wish me luck.
Yeah, that was awesome. Joy, thank you so much for, one, holding space for me and allowing me to process something that I never thought was going to come up. And for everybody listening, thank you for being just kind to sit in that space and walk through it with me. Thank you to Batman for reminding me that I shouldn't allow people to gatekeep and that I should be very happy in the fandoms that I love or used to love as a child. So thank you so much for that. Joy, like Cornell said, we want to have you back. We could talk about things all day long. I am very interested to see what you and your sibling come up with for your next set of, I don't know if they're monthlies or weeklies or whenever they come up, but I am loving your Instagram account. So I will become an official follower instead of just hashtag follower that has you pop up randomly in my world. So I'm so thankful for you to be here. Everybody, again, every week, if you are a geek therapist, an individual who plays Dungeons and Dragons or other role-playing games, and if you want to talk about what you're doing in your private and professional life, please come find us and email us at media@geektherapeutics.com, and we would love to set up time to speak with you. And until next time, Cornell, send us out.
All right, folks, we will see you next week here on the Geek Therapeutics podcast. Same time, same channel. Take care of yourselves.